Rest of us, you'll take your Bible and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18 is where we're going to be at. And we're going to see the first appearance of Christ after the resurrection to someone. So we're going to talk about that as we look at that today. You know, I think it's amazing that the Lord appears to the woman first here as we're going to talk about this today. And how many times in Scripture women are the ones that carries the message of God. A couple of weeks ago, we read from Joshua chapter 2 about the story of Rahab and how it is that God sometimes picks the ones that nobody really thinks would be the ones we would pick. If you know the story of Rahab, she was a prostitute. Men frequent her house very often from what the Scripture tells us. But she chose to serve God. And after serving God and coming to know God, her life had to have changed, because it tells us later in Scripture that she marries. She has a son by the name of Boaz, who is marries Ruth, and then is in the lineage of Christ. If you read in Matthew chapter 1, you'll see the name Rahab there. And so we see that sometimes God chooses people that the world rejects to love. Mary Magdalene, as we come to this passage, is a woman that the Lord had cast demons out of, if we look in the other Gospels, and had done some works in her life, and she becomes a lady that others have said we're not sure about, but that, again, one that the world probably wouldn't have wanted to have been very close friends with. But the fact was that the Lord is the one that speaks to her here. We've already talked about Mary in this passage a couple of times already. She's the one, if you remember a few weeks ago, and I'm going to show a couple of pictures here. She was there at the cross with the mother of Christ and was there and saw him crucified, that horrifying death, had seen him die, probably had seen the piercing of his side, had seen Joseph and Nicodemus come and take his body to the tomb and where they laid him. She knew where that was at. She's coming, as we saw last week on that early morning, to see that the tomb was empty. And she runs back to tell the disciples. She's ran back to follow them up there and is there, as we come to this passage today, looking into this tomb, of the empty tomb, as we're going to read today and talk about that. So let's stand and read God's Word. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbion," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your God, Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before you today. I seek your face, that you would allow your word to be spoken. Your Holy Spirit would convict the people that's here today, that we would be a lighthouse to this community. Guide and direct us, Father, in all that we do, that we glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessings of 2012 that you've already given us. And Father, we're praying for the blessing of 2013 as we start a new year in service to you, Father. Guide us and direct us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as I've already said, Mary is the one that is there looking in the tomb, and she sees these two angels. She's not sure who they are, but she stoops in to see them. Now, I've made the point before that the women were important to Christ. In John's Gospel, we've already seen the woman of Samaria. Again, I want to explain to you what it means to be a Samaritan, because for us in 21st century, it's just another name. Why it's not White Rite or Pink Hill or something really important, you know, like right around here. Well, but for the Samaritan woman, he says that I am the living water. He said, I am the Messiah that you're looking for. And what he's saying there is to a woman that, one, had been married multiple times, that was a social outcast that came to draw her water in the middle of the day when nobody would have been there, Jesus makes an effort to visit her and speak with her. And then to be a Samaritan who was a half Jew and half from Nebuchadnezzar line or from the Assyrian line, and they had intermarried, and that was wrong in the Jewish eyes. The Jews hated the Samaritans because of that. So we've got a woman that the world is saying, this is not someone that you want to be a part of. Jesus makes a point to tell her, I'm the Messiah. And her life changes because she goes back to the city, it tells us in the gospel, and tells the others, I have found the Messiah. She goes and tells the story. And here, Mary Magdalene, the one that the demons have been cast out of, has gone to the tomb twice now looking for her Savior. The one that had cast the demons out, the one that she loved as a teacher and a leader, she was going back to be there for him, to look for him. Now, let's not be too hard on Mary, because up until this time in history, majority of people, when there's a funeral, you know that they're dead. You know, when we have a funeral here, I get the call, someone's died, I go to the home, I console the family, the funeral home comes out, picks up the body, we do the viewing, we do the family time, we have the life celebration, we go out to the cemetery, we say what we say at the cemetery, and we put them in the ground, and we can go right out to Rose Hill, and there's graves full of folks out there. In this case, this is 21st century, I've just explained. For Mary, she had seen him die on Friday afternoon. They knew that he was dead. The historical fact of the Roman soldiers saying he is dead. Joseph and Arimathea, she had seen him take him off the cross, saw where he had been laid in that tomb on Friday afternoon. So she was going on Sunday morning to prepare the body because he was supposed to be in the grave. Nobody had arose like he had arose before. And she goes and it's empty. So she's in tears. She's wondering what's taking place. That thought that I brought out a couple of weeks ago, that the fact was that tomb robbers, somebody had stolen her Lord, is what she could think of. And that's all she could think of as she saw this. And so the angels asked the question, Mary, why are you weeping? Her world has been upside down. The one that she had followed for however long in that 3-year period of ministry, she had followed him, had been there to the very end. Her world was totally in shambles because he had died. She felt like, and the world was saying, that's the end. It's over with. She didn't know what else to do but to weep and things, because she couldn't find the body of the Jesus that she had served. But as we come to verse 14, we see an important thing there. It says that now when she said this, that she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Again, let's think about this. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they don't know who Jesus was. There could be the fact that he had blinded them, but let's put it in real life terms. Her flesh and her mind is saying, Jesus is dead. There's no way he can be alive. In her mind, there's no way that this man behind her that's talking to her could be anybody other than a gardener, because that's who would have been there at that time of the morning. And Jesus would not have been the one. So that's kind of the thought process I think we need to have about this, of her not recognizing. She thinks he's the gardener. And Jesus says, woman, who are you? Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And then he says a statement, sir, if you know where they laid him, tell me. Now, I want you to picture this. Let's think of a Jewish lady, about that tall. That's just my thought, okay? I don't know how tall they are. Put a Jewish lady, okay? And she says, sir, if you tell me where they laid him. She's wanting to find his body so she can make it anointed. Now, realize Jesus is dead. Can you imagine a little lady carrying a body? And on top of that, he's been anointed with 65 pounds of spices and wrapped in cloth. I mean, her mind is I want to anoint the body. I want to bury the body. It's all about that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be dead. That's all she could think through as she's looking at that. And she asked that question, tell me where he's at and I will take his body. But look at what Jesus says in verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. She'd probably heard that name the moment that the demons had been cast out of her. She'd heard him say Mary in the text of what that meant. See, I think some of us in this room have heard our names called by the Lord. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm completely crazy here, but I can get close to that. But when God calls us into a relationship with Him, He calls our name. No, I didn't hear Him say Billy Neal Jr. when I came. But I knew in my spirit that the Lord had called me. And I knew that sense. The same thing when He called some of you. If you've got a relationship to Christ, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe when you get the word that you've got cancer or somebody else does and you're just weeping to God and begging Him to be there, you just get that sense in your spirit that He's saying, it'll be okay, Beverly. It'll be okay. We'll get you through this. Or Betty, it'll be okay. We'll get through this. There's some big things in our life, but we're going to get you through it. See, he may not have said your name, but you knew when He talked to you that He was there with you. You had that sense. Can you imagine what Mary's got? Now, her world has been turned upside down because she had seen, her eyes had seen death, burial, and resurrection hadn't happened yet. That mentally can't be played out because it hadn't never happened. She had never seen in all of her life anybody go from death, burial, and come up. But folks, she had seen it now. Because when He said Mary, she knew it was Jesus. And she calls Him Rabbion, teacher, or Aramaic saying, teacher. Lord, it's You. And you really want to think she takes it. Look at what she does in verse 17. Now, I know that I have to explain this because my father is here this morning. And my New King James says, do not cling to me. The old King James says, do not touch. Okay? That's what your King James said. I want you to understand that and think. The Greek word that is translated there is more or less that they're clinging to Him. I want you just to picture this a moment. That Mary has been early morning walking with some friends to the tomb with spices, going to think, how are we going to move that rock that's in front of it? How are we going to get into the tomb? And she gets to the tomb, the rock is moved, she's seen it empty, and she runs back to town to tell John and Peter, and they run to the tomb, and she's following them to the tomb. So she's been backwards and forth. And all of her mind is somebody has taken my Lord. And then she hears that word, Mary. And all she knows to do is the same thing we're going to do when we get to heaven. We can all talk on this side of glory what we're going to do when we get there, but Scripture tells me what I'm going to do. Because when I see Jesus and I see that nail print hand, all I'm going to be able to do is fall at His feet. And I think Mary fell at His feet and grasped Him to say, you're alive. Because He lives, He's alive. And she's holding on tight because she doesn't want Him to leave. Now, I want you to understand, that's what I think the Greek is saying there, to grasp Him, to cling to Him and things. But the fact was, is that's all she knew to do at that moment. But He makes a comment, for I've not yet ascended to myself. Now, I know that if you've got footnotes in your Bible or you've heard this story told over and over that Jesus ascended prior to it, but what we have in Scripture is He does not ascend until 40 days later. And the reason I say that, it's not necessarily, I know one of them talks about that His body and things, but I think when the context that it's that fact of the 40 days. But He's saying, Mary, I'm going to get to see you over the next 40 days. Mary, we're going to have some more times to come together. Stop clinging to me right now. I've got something for you to do. Sometimes we're like that in the church. We want to go to the favorite place where we met Jesus 40 years ago. You know, there's this revival meeting. Oh, if we could have a revival meeting like we used to have in White Ride on the football field. Or if we could have that revival meeting that Billy Graham held at Texas Stadium. You know, no, God is still here today. Quit holding to the past, Mary. I got something for you to do today. Mary, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm going to be alive from now on. Quit grasping to me right now. Don't worry about right now. Wait for the future to come. And He says, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Go tell the brethren this. Go tell Peter, James, and John, and the others that I am alive. Go spread the news. Church, that's what He's telling us to do today. We've got to spread this message that He is alive. We can't change Washington, D.C. It's like a bunch of kids up there. This one's got Republican, that one's got Democrat, and neither one of them want to say, okay, let's come to the middle. You know, all they want to do is argue and fuss. I can go to the playground and hear that. No, but God can fix the problem. If we'll let Him get in the midst of what He wants us to do. And realize the importance of what Jesus is saying. My Father is your Father, Mary. Go tell John and Peter that my daddy is their daddy. Church, that's what we've got to be telling the world. Rahab understood that when she says to the Jewish spies, your God has already given you this land. They've already given you Jericho. We believe your God has done that. Do we believe God wants us to reach Bells, Texas? See, I'm excited about 2013. I really think God's going to do something special. I've told somebody this morning, you know, we're praying, and I've talked to Blake about this, that the first step is feeding these kids on Wednesday nights. Now, I want you to understand, it's going to be different. You know, I can see tons of kids coming from Jernigan Street over here on Wednesday nights in the future. And some of those little kids, they don't know what church is. And this old mean preacher will be standing right down there by the water fountain saying, don't run in the building. I love you, don't run in the building. And I'm not being mean, but I'm going to tell you something. That lady's restroom door scares me to death. Because one of our little angels will take off running, and one of them angels will open that bathroom door. Bam! Blood flowing. First aid kit, here we come. I just know it's going to happen. But I'm ready. I'll get more Band-Aids. Because they're going to learn about Jesus here. They may not learn about Jesus at home in the context that they need to, because their language is not going to be what we're used to around here. Our teachers are going to have to get used to people saying Jesus' name in a dialect that we don't want it said in. But folks, we're going to love them. That little kid may come and his clothes may not match ours. That's okay. But we're going to love them. And we're going to feed their stomach with some nutrients. And then we're going to love them and tell them about Jesus, that He loved them and gave them the bread of life. But see, my second prayer is this, that by next fall we have somebody drive our bus on Wednesday nights. This building's not going to hold what God wants to do in Bells, Texas. I'm just telling you that right up front. See, we've already got Team Impact scheduled for the middle of July in our VBS. And I hope this place is plumb full of kids hungry for Jesus. But church, we got to get ready. He's telling us, shed the word. Tell them I'm alive. But are we telling them? Or do we want to keep it to ourselves? Do we want to share it with anyone else? The last verse tells us here that Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things to her. Church, this is what we tell the world, that we know Jesus, that our Savior is alive. The reason Jeff's changed the songs is because of your preacher, okay? He did a great song this morning, but I got a burr under my saddle. And I said it, and so he changed the song because it didn't match with what I was saying. And don't take this wrong if you're visiting today and you happen to be this. I respect what they're trying to say, but I've just got this issue in things. But I love this time of year and all the bowl games. I love watching football games. And there's a commercial that's coming on about the Catholic Church. And the guy that does the announcing, I mean, he's a football coach. He's not a preacher, okay? He's a football coach. But he stands there and he talks about this. And my first burr is he says that the sacraments are where we get grace. And I'm like, Jesus is where we get grace. It's all about Jesus. It's not about going to the church. The sacraments, Lord's Supper is not, you know, we're going to have it next week. That's not going to save you. Jesus saves us. That's the purpose in this cross. The second thing that bothers me is there's a picture on the wall behind him. He's in a locker room, and on it there's a cross in the background. Jesus is on the cross. Folks, I'm telling you, my Jesus ain't on the cross. My Jesus ain't in the empty tomb. My Jesus is alive. You know, we ought to be walking around with two stones and a hole in the middle of them, because we're serving an empty tomb. But it's not about the tomb. It's about Jesus. And church, when we get excited and believe that our God is big enough to change history because of what He did through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Christ is alive today, we're going to reach Bells, Texas. We're going to love on people and reach out to them and say, Jesus loves you. Maybe you don't come along the right way right now. Maybe you don't look like we do. Maybe you don't smell like we do. But that's okay, because we're going to love you and we're going to tell you that Jesus loves you. See, I see Mary as a lady that the world didn't like, that the world probably shunned most of her life. And she finally found somebody that truly understood her and truly loved her. And that's why she was spending all that time searching for that body. Because all she knew was that man loved me in a way that, and accepted me the way I was. And I was wanting to change to be like him. Church, we've got to change to be like Jesus. And what Jesus wants us to do is to reach Bells, Texas. We're going to talk about that next Sunday in our challenge for 2013. Because our challenge is to reach this community. God has chosen to place us right here, right now, for this purpose. And I think God's got great things to do, because I serve an awesome God. And we all do. But my question today to you is this. Do you believe in my Jesus? Is there some time in your life that He's cried out your name? Again, maybe it wasn't a physical saying, Billy Neal Jr. Because I can tell you, in 1972, in Dallas, Texas, on Walnut Hill Lane, in a twin bed next to Bruce, I didn't hear my name. But I knew that if I didn't get out of that bed and get on my knees on the side of that bed, I was going to be in sin that I would spend eternity in. And I got down and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And now when I go through a difficulty in prayer, and I hear Him say, it'll be okay. When some of you call me on a prayer chain and say, so-and-so's having sickness. Or maybe I don't even know what's going on in your life, but sometimes your name just pops in my head. And I know, God, I know You've told me that name for a purpose. And I'm going to lift it up. And I'm going to lift You up in prayer and say, Lord, be with him. Put Your arms around him. Strengthen him. Father, that's what it's all about. So let's continue to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before You today. Father, if there's any in this room that say, preacher, I just have never truly accepted Jesus as my Savior, then right now, here's what I want them to do. I'll say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that You died and was buried and rose the third day, and I ask You to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Folks, it's not about saying the prayer. It's about changing your relationship, getting away from the world and coming to a living Savior that had death on a cross, was buried, and arose the third day. And you believe with me that that historical event took place 2,000 years ago, and because of what He did, you can have grace. You can be free from sin and repent of your sin. And you can call God your Father. Today, if you would pray that prayer, you would be saved. To follow in that is to become more like Him, is to follow in believer's baptism, confessing to men, showing them that you have been saved. And then to begin to live for Him, obeying His word, following the way that He wants us to do, and living it out on a daily basis, because we should be more like You today than we were yesterday. Our challenge as a church is to be more like Jesus. Father, I give You the praise, glory, and honor, and we praise Your name for that. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.